For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Mike Florio with Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
Time to talk some NFL with Mike Florio, creator and editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Sorry we missed you yesterday. You can blame Cubs baseball. How are you, Mike?
Good. How are you?
We are doing really well. Why don't we start with some of the more interesting stuff that you've been writing about on the site? What are the restrictions? What do people need to know when they're watching and listening to Tom Brady on what he can and can't do now that he might also be an owner?
And this is something that's been on my radar screen for months. Back in May, the NFL said that they've reached some sort of understanding as what the limitations would be on Tom Brady, given the very clear conflict of interest that arises when you own a piece of a franchise and you are given access to practice facilities, meetings with quarterbacks and coaches, inside information about teams that compete directly or indirectly with the team that you own a piece of. And the league at the time wouldn't say what the restrictions were. Well, yesterday the league told ESPN.com that once Brady's purchase of the Raiders, and he's agreed to terms with Mark Davis, once it's approved by the league, that's when Brady is frozen out completely. Now, it gets better. The Associated Press reported today that those restrictions start now because he's already got the deal in place. So he's not allowed to go into the facility. He's not allowed to meet with the quarterback, the coach, any other players during the production meetings that happen before every game that's televised by any of the networks. Can't go to practice. Can't even criticize officials during the game lest he be fined by the league for doing so. I feel like the league is trying to get him to pick a lane here, and it's up to him. Do I try to buy a piece of the Raiders? Do I broadcast for Fox? I mean, Fox could easily replace him. You just bump Greg Olson up to number one, where he should be anyway. So this is a curveball that is coming straight for Tom Brady's temple a week and a half before his debut with Fox.
It's kind of crazy too, Mike, because all those things that you talked about, the restrictions, are exactly why you would want Tom Brady. You would want Tom Brady to have a conversation with the quarterback of the other team, and you would want all of his analysis of what he saw in practice leading up to the game. Like, it makes him, I know that he can just, you know, grind his face off watching film, but it makes him a lesser broadcaster because of some of these restrictions.
That's what he needs to realize. It's selfish of him to move forward knowing that the audience will get something less than what it otherwise would get. You have a guy who has a hand tied behind his back at a minimum. He's reacting to all of this just based upon whatever preparation he does on film. And also, I don't know how comfortable I am with the notion that everybody else can go to the meetings, everybody else can go to practice, everybody else can gather information. At some point, doesn't that get shared with Tom? At what point are we trusting that Tom isn't going to still pursue that information through other channels, calling up guys on the team that he might know, having off the record conversations? I think where this ends, this is just my gut feeling. If they're going to put these restrictions in place before they vote on whether or not he's going to own a piece of the team, I think when it's time to vote, there's going to be at least 9 owners who say no, blocking him from owning a piece of the Raiders.
I don't think he understands what it means to be a broadcaster. If he really hasn't considered some of these things, it tells me he wants to be paid to be Tom Brady, which is different than doing that job as best you can.
Well, no, I think he might have thought they'll let him do whatever he wants to do. And the rules don't apply to me. I get to go to practice. I get to go to production meetings. No one's going to tell me no. Andy Reid's not going to tell me no when I'm going into his facility, even though I own 10% of the Raiders, along with Richard Seymour and some other investors, if it goes through. So I just think he believes he's above all of it. I mean, look, he didn't even do a preseason game. I feel like that he believes so much is beneath him. I think he believes rules like this are beneath him. And this is the cold splash of water that he's, I mean, he's got to be pissed about this. The question is, what does he do? Does he double down? Does he refuse to yield? Does he pick a lane? And yeah, I don't know how much he's paying for his piece of the Raiders. At one point, the number was so low, the NFL basically laughed in Mark Davis's face about what they were getting from Brady. I think the number's higher now, but it's still not market value. And look, if you're looking at 10.4% for Brady, Richard Seymour, and their investors, why not just sell 10% to the highest bidder among the various private equity funds that can now buy a piece of the team?
That was my next question about the private equity deal. And it is not necessarily my area of expertise by a long shot, but people who know money better than I do said there's a poison pill in here. And this sort of what's good for the goose is good for the gander, where the NFL has said, sure, you can invest, but the typical gain that a private equity company gets about the carry profit as far as overall profit or franchise value, the NFL wants a cut of that. So it may not be as sweet a deal as it seems just by the headlines.
Well, and you know what that adds to? It adds to my belief that once these private equity funds have their tentacles in teams, and any given fund can own up to 10% of 6 different teams, there's going to be pressure placed on owners by these funds to generate more revenue. I think the path to 20 regular season games is greased by the private equity involvement because it was already a business. Now it's clearly a business. Now it's about balance sheets and maximizing profits and doing everything we can. So 20 regular season games, more money. Joint practices in stadiums where you charge people to get in, more money.
How about trimming payroll? How about firing all of these, you know, half your scouts and half of your coaches and a lot of your, like, the first thing that private equity does when they take over most businesses is fire a huge portion of the people who work there.
Now, they're not going to have any say like any other minority shareholder, but I feel like these funds have more juice than the average rich guy who buys 10% of a team so he can brag to people that he owns 10% of a team. Most folks like that don't care. They're just happy to be along for the ride. These private equity funds get involved. They're doing it for not vanity. They're doing it for profit. And that's what changes the dynamic. And it's funny because this all happened on Tuesday. It was the perfect way to kind of tuck it into the NFL news cycle down at the lower shelf, because that was the day all the rosters cut to 53. But as I think about it more and talk about it more, this is a very different kind of minority owner, driven by profit, and will be not bashful at all about hammering the majority owner of up to 6 different teams if they exercise the right to buy a stake in 6 different franchises to give us more games, give us more money, trim the fat, cut costs. I mean, even with only 10% maximum being held by private equity, the NFL may have bought itself a hell of a headache here because it may have some of these funds just wearing these owners out to do things in a more profit-driven way.
Mike, what's the league going to do about Rashee Rice?
Well, 16 days ago, I asked the league that question because I had heard that The legal process is moving slowly. He's facing 8 felony counts after a street racing incident in March. Legal process is moving slowly. The league told me they will monitor the case. After the legal process ends, they'll review the situation for discipline under the personal conduct policy. They never gave me a straight answer on what could possibly happen with paid leave, the commissioner exempt list, because when you face felony charges, you are eligible to be placed on paid leave. Today, there was a conference call where they previewed the season and a couple of questions focused on Rashee Rice. And I eventually said, is he going to be placed on paid leave? And initially, it was kind of a word salad, non-committal response. At the very end, they came back and said, we don't anticipate putting him on paid leave, barring a material change in the case. So that's a week from now that they host the Ravens. I think he's going to be able to play unless something unforeseen and unexpected happens, and he'll be allowed to keep playing until his case is over and he ends up being disciplined by the league. Because again, the main purpose of the personal conduct policy when it's aggressively applied to players is to have it available when there are domestic violence cases. Even though I think this was very troubling what happened, it was reckless, it was careless, it could have killed somebody, they still view domestic violence and non-domestic violence in different buckets.
Mike, for you, since you're around this all the time, you rarely take time off. You, even in the dark period of the NFL, you're still putting out content. I'd love to know for you, what's the fun of football coming back? Like, what excites you about this particular season?
Well, Sundays are hectic, crazy, marathon, 18-hour, nonstop, adrenaline drip. And I love that part of it, but it never stops. The season never stops. Sundays are the big days, but there really isn't a break. I try to shut down for a little bit on Friday night. And I was joking earlier today on PFT Live. When I get picked up by the driver that takes me to the airport for the first trip of the season, I'll be leaving Tuesday to fly to Kansas City. When I get in the back seat, I feel like Henry Hill in Goodfellas when he says, now take me to jail. That first trip every year, because it's a fundamental change in the existence.
I hope you look better. I hope you look a little healthier than he does in that scene.
I don't take any off-brand prescription medication before I do that without water. That makes it even worse, taking it without water. But I love it, but for the 7 or 8 months where it's not constant, Saturday you leave, travel for 7 hours, Sunday 18 hours, Monday do your show, travel home, and your reward for getting home safely is get your ass back to work because there's a game Monday night, and then come power rankings, and then comes radio, and then comes PFT Live. And I love that. I mean, if I would have been able to comprehend as a 10-year-old what the internet is and, you know, how I fit into this ecosystem, I would have been thrilled to know that that's my job. I talk about football. I write about football. I think about football. I watch football, and that's my job. Are you kidding me? That's great. But once the games get going, it definitely becomes a roller coaster ride, and you better be good to go. You know, when it slows down, I take care of all the other stuff that I know I'm not going to have time for. Doctor's appointments and, you know, anything else. Because once it starts, it does not stop. The ride does not stop until the confetti falls in New Orleans.
And you can imagine that people here in Chicago are super excited about watching Caleb Williams get to work. Now that there's a full body of work from the preseason, the roster at least has its initial 53 people on it. What would you say the proper level of excitement about Caleb Williams this season should be?
Well, you know, I've heard people compare the Bears potentially to last year's Texans. The difference is the Texans were anonymous, and there wasn't that same hype with C.J. Stroud. And they had all their games tucked into the 1 o'clock Eastern window on Sunday, except at the very end of the season when they got flexed to Saturday night for the AFC South Championship game. I mean, the Bears are going to be on NBC facing the Texans week 2, so they can't hide. And they're in a tough division. So I think that the Bears are going to be competitive. They're going to be fun to watch. Caleb Williams reminds me of Patrick Mahomes, and I think he's the first guy in this new generation of quarterbacks who were young. He was 16 when Mahomes started doing Mahomesian things, and guys realize, hey, if I've got the physical ability, there's a different way I can play, and they start emulating it. And then all of a sudden, 6 years later, here's Caleb Williams looking a lot like a carbon copy of Mahomes. So I think there's reason to be excited. The great equalizer in all of these situations are injuries. And we don't know who's going to get injured. We don't know when they're going to get injured. We don't know how many games they're going to miss. But injuries will change everything. We see it in the preseason. We'll see it week one. And that's the thing that can take the air out of the balloon for any team. We know it's going to happen. And the key is staying healthy, getting consistent, and being better and better throughout the year. And you hope to peak in the postseason and win a few games. And I think the Bears could be in the mix for a playoff berth this year.
So if you have that feeling like Henry Hill, when you know it's like, okay, take me to jail. What in the football season, like as a fan, like what is, and I know being a Vikings fan and all that, but I mean, like, is there anything that you really look forward to that really gets you excited? Can you ever sit in front of the TV and throw the remote and jump up and down and scream like a child?
Well, I mean, two things. Number one, and I say all the time when people ask, what do you root for? I root for a good story. So when I know that something happens during a game that is going to become a thing, that it's going to become a story, that it's going to make traffic spike, that it's going to give me opportunities to try to advance the story, whether on NBC or PFT or wherever, that gets the juices flowing because you know those things are always going to come. As a fan, for me, the best nights are Monday night and Thursday night because those are the nights where I'm in my barn, I'm watching the game, I can focus on the game. And when it starts to get good in the fourth quarter, when crazy things start to happen, that's when I rewind the calendar to 1975. Okay. And you just enjoy an exciting game, regardless of who's playing. An exciting game, an exciting finish. You hope for something screwy to happen. You hope for something that's going to spark some interesting Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were, press conferences. And, you know, the adrenaline of games like that, crazy finish, nutty press conferences, storylines that echo into the next day. I get excited just thinking about that.
Or maybe, and I don't mean this as a roast, but maybe as a Vikings fan, as a child, you were destined for, like, you were the perfect person to be in your position because maybe you were supposed to never have the experience of winning a Super Bowl.
That, well, and I'll tell you the 100% candid reality. If I had been a Steelers fan and if I had enjoyed four Super Bowl championships between 1974 and 1979, I wouldn't be in this business. The reason I continued to follow the NFL as closely as I did is I had this unrequited, unresolved passion to just see the team that hooked me into the sport in the first place win it one time. And if they had won it one time at any point between 1973 and 2001, ProFootballTalk.com never exists. And if it does, it's somebody else who would have bought the domain name and set up the website and made it all go.
Incredible. Mike, as always, cool. We love talking with you. Thanks so much. Can't wait for next week when we're all ready to go to start up the season.
Thanks, guys.
That's Mike Florio. Next up, you are going to hear what Caleb Williams had to say on The Score yesterday.
Caleb himself.
Caleb himself and
Bears.
You're not going to believe it. And Grody didn't disappoint.
The Bears.
He didn't disappoint. That's
Bears.
Next.
The Bears.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Yeah, well, I think just like being in front of the team, you know, from like our first team meeting till now, just a big difference. Obviously, there's just a level of comfort from doing it over and over again. You know, I'm sure that's also been reflected when you guys see from him up here. I'm sure he's gotten better and better, just as he's gotten better and better in front of the team. So communicating with the team that he's gotten better with, and you know, all those things that you need to be, you know, really good at as a head coach that maybe you don't have to do as an offensive coordinator or defense coordinator, that when you're in the head coaching role now that you have to do. I've just seen him, you know, improve and flourish in those things, and the players have been really receptive of that.
More from Cole Kmet. But at quarterback, his quarterback, Caleb Williams, made an appearance on The Score yesterday. It was Matt Spiegel. It was Mark Grody on Score Afternoons. I hear they've got some schmuck who's going to be on that show today. I don't know why they let him do stuff like that. The first subject of their conversation was the comparison of that Caleb Williams has gotten to the musician Prince.
You're all right with the Prince comparison, right? You're all right with that comp. We certainly are.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind the Prince comp. Kind of funny.
Yeah, right. And Prince was the halftime show the last time the Bears were in the Super Bowl. So, you know.
In
the pouring rain. So we're all good with that. Caleb, you've said a couple times now that practice has been harder than the games. And we love that as a concept around here. Why do you think the games have been easier than your Bears practice?
I think coach does a good job of, and obviously the games are hard. Obviously coaches, the other teams are, you know, obviously going to try and, you know, throw a bunch of different wrinkles in the game or in the game and things like that. You know, but practices and things like that, coach said he was going to, you know, try and make practice and going to make practice harder than the games. And so the situations he puts us in, you know, how hard we actually, you know, are out there working, you know, how much time I would say we put into it throughout the day, how much time we're on the field, on the grass, you know, and a bunch of other things that puts us in, you know, different circumstances. Like one of the things that we do, we you know, from the huddle to the line, to the actual play, you know, a lot of times the shot clock is a little bit higher than or starts a little bit later in actual games, and it doesn't practice for us. So it's just, you know, the small things that make, you know, the game, you know, a little bit easier on game day.
Do you enjoy going against a defense that talks a lot and has some swagger? Jalen Johnson is a friend of this show. Have you had some chatter with Jalen Johnson? He's aware that he's very good. If you're not aware, he is aware that he's excellent.
Yeah, no, he is really good. And it's been great going against him and against that defense. Like I've said, since I've got here, the defense, you know, statistically last year was top five. And then, you know, this year, I think they're going to just elevate and be a lot better than they were last year, just growing and building off the bond and belief that they have within themselves and then, you know, within the team. You know, going against them, you know, it's been really fun. It's been really challenging. Them throwing a bunch of different things at me from coverages to blitzes to simulated blitzes and all these different things throughout this process.
Yeah, I think it's legit too, because at the beginning of camp, I didn't really want to buy into all of that, like the defense is making Caleb better, and because we dealt with that with your predecessors as well, but I do feel like it's absolutely legitimate. One thing that I've been wondering, Caleb, just from being out at the press conferences with you and listening to you in other interviews, that it seems like you take exception to people saying that everything you do out there is natural, such as the 45-yard bomb to Roma Dunze. Is that true? Do you take exception to that because there's hard work involved as well?
Yeah, I mean, those things, you know, things like that don't just come from overtime. And it may have come from other sports that I've played over time, but it doesn't just, you know, I don't just grow up as a little child and have, you know, this, I guess you could say, everybody makes so much big of a deal, but an unnatural, you know, things or plays that happen. You know, we work on those things. We work on a bunch of different situations. I've worked on a bunch of different situations, and, you know, whether it's actually contort my body and put my body in different positions to be able to deliver the ball right, left, in the pocket, out of the pocket, you know, going backwards, going forward, sideways, all these different things. You know, all those things I've worked on over the years. And then, you know, it may just seem or look natural because it didn't just happen, you know, from this year to last year. It's been something that I've been able to, you know, carry over for years on years. And because of the, you know, the work that I've, you know, put in, and then the work that we put in as a team. I think a lot of it comes from confidence, from the hard work.
So, Caleb, there's a clip on one of the Hard Knocks episodes where you say that you don't get nervous, that, like, it happened once in high school, but not anymore. That's amazing. Is that something you have taught yourself or willed yourself to not get nervous? And how have you done that?
I think that's another thing that comes from the belief in the hard work that I've put in, whether it's mental, you know, and studying the plays, studying another team, whether it's physical and my belief of when I go out there, you know, that, you know, I'm physically matched up well versus other, you know, the versus defense. And then, I also put myself in different positions mentally, you know, that if situations pop up that I haven't physically practiced, you know, that I, you know, mentally at least I've hopefully gone over and things like that.
Caleb, one thing that is very noticeable from us, from the media watching you again every day out in practice, is that you're constantly smiling. Like, you're always smiling out there. We see it on Hard Knocks. I see it every day out at practice. Why are you always smiling? Is life that good out there, Caleb?
Life is pretty good. Being you know, I've been a part of this organization. Been quarterback. I get to be around some great people every single day. And it's also, you know, even when I'm not necessarily feeling the best, it also is a, you know, it also is a job that I have. You know, where it's not about me. It's not about you know, how I'm feeling. It's not about anything like that. It's about making sure that I can control those emotions, making sure that, you know, my emotions aren't affecting my teammates, and bringing them down in negative ways. So me being pissy or me being angry or me not smiling or giving positive energy to my teammates, you know, is you know, affects the team. And so being able to smile, being able to, you know, bring joy and light, you know, is an important part of my job. And obviously, I'm not going to be a robot. Obviously, there's going to be times where I do get frustrated and things like that and say stuff or act certain ways. But being able to control it in a certain manner, you know, is important and a part of this job.
We're talking to Caleb Williams here on 670 The Score. Aaron Rodgers as a model for quarterback play. Man, as much as he has kicked our ass in this town, it makes all the sense in the world because of the style of play and the greatness. What traits or mechanics did you specifically work to emulate from Aaron Rodgers?
From a young age, I've worked his out-of-pocket stuff, trying to be as accurate as possible is another. And then I would say another one is you know, I learned this at a young age. The more the ball can spin, the easier it is for the wide receiver to catch it. I learned that from him. And so always trying to make sure that the ball has a spiral. Its spin rate is up. There's a bunch of the way but the way he contorts his body. One of my favorite throws, I think, is his first start versus the Vikings. He's kind of rolling out left and throws it kind of falling back, I guess, and throws it over his head in between like two or three people and completes it for a touchdown. It's down in the red zone if y'all want to go back and look at it. You know, just the miraculous things that he can do in games, in the pocket, out of the pocket, whether he's getting pulled down, you know, he's always been pretty special. So, you know, looking up to him as a QB,
and trying to practice things that he's done or that I've seen has been a part of my practice and trainings.
Oh, the irony that you, this quarterback we now have in town and we're so excited about, are emulating a guy that so many of us had grown to hate, Caleb. Are you okay if we still hate him as Bears fans in this town?
I have no decision making over who you love or hate. I'll always appreciate his.
Oh yeah, no, we appreciate his excellence, absolutely, and that's been an interesting thing to talk about because we appreciate him absolutely, but also hate him just the same. But man, it's the way that you're talking about with all that extra spin makes all the sense in the world. One other thing about the way you play, and it always struck me that it's the way that he played too, scrambling and moving around, but always looking to throw, like yeah. Oh my God, always looking to buy time to throw. Is that something that you've watched him do through the years, among others?
Yeah, I would say in those ways we're very similar. I don't necessarily want to run or enjoy running as much as I enjoy throwing an explosive play or just a positive play down the field to one of my guys when the play breaks loose. And a lot of times in games or anything like that, you know, there's always explosive plays once you break the pocket. Obviously, you have things set up within the pocket and explosive plays that happen within the pocket. But, you know, a lot of plays become really explosive when you break the pocket. So, you know, always looking to throw, knowing that factor. And then, you know, when it gets time to run, third downs, you know, time to go win or fourth quarter, anything like that, 2 minute, you know, it's time to go run sometimes. So. Just picking and choosing.
You know, even in the Super Bowl last year, when everybody was talking about Pat Mahomes making plays with his legs, he made those plays because they respected that he could kill him with the throw at all times, yep. Right? It's like the throw's got to come first. Don't you agree?
Yep. Yeah. Throw in my mind, throw always comes first.
How comfortable are you just staying in the pocket, Caleb? We've seen a lot of, you know, play action and moving out of the pocket. Are you comfortable in the pocket as well?
Yeah, I can do anything and everything that the team needs me to do. In the pocket, out of the pocket, whatever the case may be, keepers, play fakes, play actions, handoffs, under center, gun. Sprint outs, you name it.
Bears.
See,
nice.
That's anything that they need. We're enjoying you saying the Bears at the end of every press conference. How much fun are you having with that and with the claw at this point, Caleb?
It's been fun. It's been good. They've been, the fans, and you know, I think they're catching on a little bit faster than my teammates are. But it's been great. I didn't think it was actually going to catch on, or I wasn't even trying to make it catch on. I thought it was going to be my thing. And then, you know, it's been every time whether it's a pitcher or whether it's, people talking about it, it tends to pop up a lot now. So,
I absolutely love it. I'm sitting in your press conferences. The only adjustment that I would make to it, Caleb, like once you get comfortable, just simplify it and just go with a simple Bears, just like that. You don't even need the duh. Just go Bears.
Got it.
All right. Thanks, Caleb. Thanks for doing it, man. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you.
I love that.
Bears. How
great would that Bears. Be? Just an off, or like he leaves the podium and just comes back to the mic and leans in and goes, Bears.
Bear. Did you see that Levy put together a bear claw?
No.
Ooh. Got an email from them yesterday.
This is your thing.
They put together a bear claw pretzel.
This is your thing.
So, you know, just.
You've said this.
As Jig said, just wet my beak. That's all. Just wet my beak a little bit.
Wet my beak and come over and fix my gutters while you're at it.
Yeah.
Need somebody to pave my driveway.
Well, you've got that now.
Well,
you can help him out with that.
I don't have a driveway, but I do have a lovely, sparkling new garage floor.
Yeah,
yes, I do.
You could totally help Jigs out with that. But
hey, could use a landscaper. Give Jesse a call.
Bears. Bears. When we come back, so we'll react to what Caleb had to say.
You comfortable with pocket?
Yeah, I'm a quarterback in the NFL.
I'm
whatever you need.
Quarterback. I'm good.
Waggles, yeah. Rollouts, handoffs, taking the snap from center, whatever you need. I got it.
I can pretty
much do everything.
You know what it reminds you of? It's like, you were a mechanic. Well, my brother was a mechanic. My uncle was a mechanic. And you worked in the shop. What'd you do in there in your daddy's shop? Well, you know, trannies, tire repair, rotations, full engine rebuild.
You know, all the things that a mechanic
right.
would do.
Yep.
We'll react to what Caleb had to say. There's some really interesting stuff in there, especially like the Aaron Rodgers thing that I want to go back into. And it gives you some insight into, you know how you talk about why is Caleb trying to look at all of these sociopaths? I think there are some really good sociopathic behavior in there. And I'll explain what I mean next here on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. An Odyssey station.
From a young age, I've worked his out-of-pocket stuff. Trying to be as accurate as possible is another. And then I would say another one is I learned this at a young age. The more the ball can spin, the easier it is for the wide receiver to catch it. I learned that from him. And so always trying to make sure that the ball has a spiral. Its spin rate is up. There's a bunch of the way he contorts his body. One of my favorite throws, I think it's his first start versus the Vikings. He's kind of rolling out left and throws it, kind of falling back, I guess, and throws it over his head.
Notice he referenced the first start against the Vikings. He had a specific memory of a specific play, and you brought that back to the offseason Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Off the air.
Yeah, so when we hear that he's talking with Tim Grover and he wants to be like Jordan and wants to be like Kobe, and that's the type of good sociopathic behavior that you want to see. This dude is watching tape. And it's why when we were talking about the Giants' Hard Knocks, when Dable says to Caleb Williams, your world, draw up a favorite play. And he draws it up and Dable is like, yeah, we used to run that with Favre. And Caleb's just kind of standing there smiling. There's no way he didn't research Brian right. Dable.
He was on it.
There's no way. And when you hear him talk specifically, like, I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers' first play as a starter. This guy, and I mean this in the most positive way possible, is maniacal. He has been watching quarterback play and has landed on watching Aaron Rodgers. And I think that that's a really good thing. That's the type of behavior where you say, this is someone who really wants to be great. There's still a question on whether that's going to happen for him. But even in that, the fact that that's something that he leans on, there's something that his recall is great on it, the way that he thinks about playing the quarterback position, I think is more advanced than most rookies that we've seen.
I also liked Grody's question about why Caleb bristles at so much of his ability being referred to as natural. It takes away the credit he deserves for his hard work.
Whenever and we talk that way look, about athletes.
It's racist. It's racist. And it has been forever. And if you go back to the way scouting reports used to be for a long time about, well, if I said one guy is a smooth, natural athlete and the other guy is a gym rat coach's son type. You know who you're picturing.
Yeah, we euphemism all the time. You know, lunch pail guy and all that stuff. Coach's kid and everything else.
Clean bloodlines.
Pure. It's very important.
Pure blood. We make fun of that stuff because it should be made fun of. And I know that Caleb is in a position to go there and call it out, but I can. Because stuff like that, well, it just comes naturally to him. Bull.
He works on it.
Yeah, it is unfair when you talk about that and you kind of, I mean, I know we don't have time for like the major big discussion on something like this, but yeah, it is troubling when you see someone and you think that they're not, that the work, they didn't put in the work to be great. They just kind of were great because of genetics. Obviously, genetics is mostly the difference between someone like us.
Between professional athletes and non-athletes, yes.
Right.
Yes.
But there's still a ton of hard work that goes into it. When I think of someone like Caleb or any quarterback for the most part, I think of the concept of craft. Do you care enough about your craft to do it? Sure, there are some of the natural things, like when you see Joe Milton be able to throw a ball 95 yards. That's a big portion of that is how he's built up, what his arm is like.
Just like Kyle Bowler could throw a ball 95 yards. I couldn't play quarterback.
Some of it, I'm sure, is weight room work and drills to make your arm stronger, like all of those things. But it is unfair. Like when we talk about, you know, stupid softball stuff, I always tell you that I'm skilled. I'm not very athletic. I'm pretty athletic for 49.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty athletic. But now I have to rely on mostly skilled, because then you see what real athleticism looks like out there, because I hit behind Kevin Lapka.
Yeah, but it's like baseball is a sport where you don't have to be a great athlete.
You don't. It helps, though.
Mm-hmm.
You can start moving your midsection and your planting your feet. Like, that type of stuff helps. But, yeah, I get why anyone would bristle on it, because it takes away the, man, I'd be in the gym, you know? Like,
yeah.
I'm out here watching tape. I'm out here trying to make these throws.
Yeah, and I would clarify, too, that I'm not saying anything about Mark Grody's question. Grody, if you listen to the question, he said you don't like, 'cause he knows he's around him all the time. And Grody said, like, you don't like being described as natural or good at it. And I get it, because there's a lot of coded,
there's underlying
language
stuff, yeah,
and a lot of underlying ancient stuff that sucks in some of those scouting words, those loaded scouting words.
And look, there's a spectrum of this here, because we've all seen some of the players in every sport where you can see the physical ability, but it isn't. Like, for example, I'll give you a perfect example from last night. Michael Kopech. We all know that he clearly has physical ability that maybe 1% of pitchers in Major League Baseball have. And the question has been, when is he going to add the craft aspect to what he is physically? And I think that from his last five appearances as a White Sox to what he's been at the Dodgers, he had a pitch sequence, I forget who it was against last night, where it was like 101, 102, here's a slider at 95. And the batter was just like, oh my God, like, what was that just happened to me? So yeah, there's a sliding scale of trying to marry the two things together that it's okay for us to talk about, if you're okay with understanding that sometimes when it's made very concrete and plain, this guy is a great athlete, this guy is a student of the game, that can feel wrong. And it can feel like you're stereotyping.
And 219 says, you just said that PCA was a great athlete. What do you mean you don't have to be? He is a great athlete. I'm saying that there are pitchers who can barely walk and chew gum at the same time. Talk to Dirk Hayhurst sometime.
I throw 88, right?
No, that was Dan Heron.
That's Dan Heron.
You know, Dirk Hayhurst said, look, he said, I'm a bad athlete. He said, I was a good pitcher. He's like, I could throw a ball hard and I could make a ball curve. That is not athleticism.
But I mean, there are some arguments to be made that is athleticism.
In the way
that is an athletic trait.
But you can say golfers in that way.
Sure.
But golfers have incredible hand-eye coordination, incredible repeatability, but a lot of them have man boobs. I mean,
that's okay.
I'm just saying that you
Yeah, but
I wouldn't describe a lot of golf. There are some golfers who are great athletes. Tony Finau is a great athlete.
I mean, now they actually don't though.
Dustin Johnson's a great athlete.
The guys that are in the PGA now kind of don't.
Joel Damon still does. Damn it.
But Rory's out there all yoked up, like all of the children of Tiger.
Yeah, that's right.
Right,
so he did change it.
Like, well, once Tiger came along and was like, you know, you guys can lift, right? And he's like, what? We're allowed to lift and stuff?
Man, there are guys on the Bass Tour who work out in ways that people, like, I'm not kidding, like fishermen.
Yeah.
Like the guys who make their money.
Race car drivers. Keep
them, well, that's even different. I'm saying there are guys who are like in shape for professional fishing.
And one of those people is Jason Leisure. And we will talk to him about the Bears next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.